Great to have you along here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. I'm going to take a look at travel now. Are you thinking of going someplace? I tell you what, we got just the guy for you. I can tell you that for sure. Rick Seney of faircompare.com. He's the CEO and the founder of faircompare.com, and he comes by about once a month to help us navigate the world of airlines and airfares and keep us informed on trends that are going on in the industry. And Rick, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us today.
Sure. Thanks for having me on again, Larry.
Well, you have an article on faircompare.com called Who's Going to Pay More for Airline Tickets This Year? And the good news is that not all of us will.
Yeah, I think that if you've looked, I mean, if you look at the data for the last couple of years, the base airfare hasn't actually changed that much. It's actually been riding right about at inflation, just under 2%. So people are saying, well, how the heck are airlines actually getting making so much revenue? They're finally profitable for the first time. I mean, part of it is this massive consolidation that we've seen. But the real thing is that people are willing to pay more for nonstops. So at the moment, they're making their money because somebody's looking at the trade-off, an extra $100 to take the convenient nonstop. They're paying more. That's one way they're making more money. Another is the folks in smaller cities are actually getting beat, and that includes folks in Madison, Eau Claire, mm-hmm. all these regional airports. And the bigger cities aren't having as much of an issue, Milwaukee, for example, or Chicago or Minneapolis. And so when they do raise prices, which they attempted to do many times last year, they tend to stick more heavily on the smaller cities. So those price hikes tend to stick there, and they tend to come back down for the major metro cities. There's some good news and bad news here. The good news is the prices haven't gone up that much. And people are willing to pay more. That's sort of a sign of the economy getting a little bit better. On the flip side, you know, prices were as high as we ever saw them at the end of 2012, and they continue to be persistently high. And part of that is the fact that oil prices continue to stay stubbornly in the $90 barrel range.
Yeah, and that's too bad. So if we're flying in and out of the larger airports, if we kind of avoid the nonstops, there's another one, day of the week, too, isn't there, that you...
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people are continuing to travel on Monday, Friday, and Sunday, the busiest days and the most expensive days. The cheapest days are Tuesday, Wednesday, and Saturday, at least domestically. So if you can at least plan half your trip on the slow days, you not only do you get a little bit better price on that day, or at least half the benefit if it's half your trip, the other thing is you may actually catch an empty middle seat. Very difficult to do today.
Our guest today, Rick Seney, CEO and co-founder of faircompare.com. If you're planning on a trip, why not give us a call? The number is 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page. Go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page, and certainly you can post your questions or comments there, and we'll get you on the air. I had one a caller who wondered about Reykjavik, Iceland.
Sure.
Wants to go there. Is there a time of year when it's less expensive to travel from say, if we're traveling from Chicago to Iceland?
Well, certainly the prices sort of in general, especially when you have these longer flights over 4 or 5 hours and with an ocean in between, or at least a strip of an ocean in between, typically run much higher in the summertime and are much cheaper in the wintertime. It's simply sort of a demand thing. In this particular case, you do have Iceland Air that flies out of the Northwest, which actually drives down the price pretty dramatically to those. So you can actually find a non-demand domestic airline that actually you can find some decent deals on. At the moment, those kind of tickets tend to average, at least on Iceland Air, in the $600 to $700 range.
Okay.
Summertime, they go up to about $800 or $900. But if you were to take a U.S. carrier through Reykjavik, it's going to be much higher, closer to $1,000 in the summertime.
Okay, so that's a tip well taken there as we visit with Rick Seney. Again, you can join us at 1-800-642-1234. You talk about in your Fair Compare article, another one, you talked about the four cheapest dates to fly on in 2014.
Yeah, there's actually four magical dates that I've sort of picked out for 2014. The first one is June the 7th. So if you're flying from the northwest to the coasts, either west coast or east coast, starting on about June 7th, that's when airlines are treating the entire summer as though it was Thanksgiving. So they're going to raise prices by about 15 to 30% on or after June 7th. Certainly that corresponds with kids getting out of school. So if you can fly on or before June 7th and depart before then, you're going to save some money, especially on nonstops to the coast. And then another couple of dates I picked was mid-May, May 16th and August 23rd. So on May 16th, after that date, prices for European summer trips jump about anywhere from $300 to $500 round trip. Ooh. And then on August 23rd, they drop from that $300 to $500 back to sort of the spring rate. So May 16th through August 23rd, again, is being treated as the high season for Europe. If you can slide in before those dates, you can certainly save yourself at least 30%. And then the last one is the Caribbean. Right now, on April 24th, the prices drop dramatically for the Caribbean. Airlines are assuming that everybody's spring break is over. Hurricane season doesn't start too far near past that. And so they drop the prices. I'll give you an example. For Chicago weekend spring break, Puerto Rico, $1,000 round trip. The next weekend, the first weekend in May for that same trip is $300 round trip.
Oh, boy. $700.
$700 difference.
Ugh. Dwayne in Wausau has a question for you. Let's go there. Dwayne, hi. Thank you for calling.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for the show. You go down to San Antonio to visit your son graduating from Air Force training, and we wanted to buy the tickets right away. Recruiter said, no, if something happens, sprains an ankle or delayed of graduation, then they won't let you, change your ticket other than Southwest. And other airfares charge $200 a ticket from what I've been hearing. Like, we're traveling April 9th through, like, the 13th or 14th, which is a Sunday or Monday, and it's too bad these, airfare or airline companies won't let you flexible if it's, your kids in them serving your country and that, but I understand business. But any
tips?
Sure. What airport are you flying out of?
Well, we're in Wausau, so either, Madison, San Antonio, Madison, Green Bay, Appleton.
Okay.
That'd be about Madison would probably be the best, I imagine.
Right. So Madison would be the best out of those particular ones. Right now, like for April 9th, for a week-long trip at the moment, I'm seeing prices in sort of the low $300 round trip. Sounds like you're just going to be staying the weekend, right?
Well, yeah. The 9th, like 5 days, the 9th through the 13th.
Yeah, so the trips are running. If you actually leave on April the 19th, there's at least one flight.
The 9th. Just the 9th is a Wednesday. Right. They want you to leave.
April 9th, okay.
Yeah, so April 9th and April 10th are both $315. The weekend is $450 round trip. So if you do leave for a four-night trip, you can get in the low 300s. That's actually a fairly decent deal out of Madison right now.
That is, really. Because we were getting like $350 a few weeks ago.
Yeah, and that's Delta Airlines.
Yeah, you might want to go there quick.
It's not a great connection. You'll have to connect through Detroit, but it's fairly inexpensive.
Yeah, there you go. Good luck, Dwayne.
Thank you so much, and love the show.
All right, appreciate it very much. And Ken in Milwaukee, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi, good morning, Larry. See, I'd like to ask the guest, I haven't air traveled in a long time, and I need to replace luggage, and I would like to get a carry-on because the expense add up when it comes to checking baggage. But when I'm looking at what's on the Internet and what the manufacturer says the dimensions are versus when somebody rates that piece of luggage who purchased it, they're commenting it's not a carry-on, it doesn't fit in the overhead, and the dimensions that are given by the manufacturer are, in a sense, deceiving because the luggage is expandable. How does one know what they're getting or what size to get nowadays? Because it depends on the aircraft you're flying and the whole nine yards. So I'm debating, if I'm going to go someplace for 10 days, I need to take something of substance here. And so
Yeah. All right. Well, let me give you a couple tips here. First of all, the reason it's sort of a little bit murky is that about 50% of all flights in the United States are regional jets. Those are 50 and 70 seat aircraft. And if you actually want to put your bag in the bins are really, really much smaller. In fact, it's really only meant for maybe a laptop bag or something like that. But you do not pay a fee for carrying your normal carry-on that you would carry on a much bigger aircraft, one that holds 130 people or more. So it's not an extra cost for that. You just have to gate check it, and then when you arrive for your connection, they provide you that. So I actually have two different bags. For me, I travel a lot in Europe, so I have a normal carry-on size bag that I carry all over domestically. And then if I know that I'm going to be flying intra-Europe, their actual overhead space is much smaller, so I have a little smaller bag that I carry with me. So that's where you see the three difference. You have regional aircraft, you have sort of the U.S. standards, and you have the European standards, and that's why you see three different bag sizes. If you're traveling to Europe, I would take the bigger bag. I haven't checked a bag with my family in over 10 years, even on multi-week trips to Europe, so you can actually do it. This isn't because I don't want to pay the bag fee. There's not really bag fees on European trips. The main issue is the number one thing that ruins your once-in-a-lifetime trip to Europe is your bag getting lost.
Yeah.
I've been doing this a long time, and I've seen so many people have a bad experience with, especially in some places like London Heathrow, where they have persistent baggage problems.
So, yeah, so it's much better if you can. I was thinking, I was in Paris for, 12 days, and it was in a situation where I had to wear, to be dressed up on some occasions, and I was still able to get it all into a carry-on.
Yeah, it's usually not a problem for me, but my wife, I took a little bit of cajoling and convincing. But after the first time we actually went to Europe, and I've been to Europe, I think my passport, my daughter and I were going through it. It's, I think I have like three sets of passports. They've been stamped at least 40 times to Europe. It's after doing that so many times, she just loved the fact that it set her free. If we're taking trains, we can take our luggage.
Yeah.
It's just not a huge hassle getting through the metro systems with, 85-pound trunk,
no.
which some people are carrying on their once in a lifetime trip to Europe. It can be very, very difficult.
We are talking with Rick Seney. Rick is the CEO and co-founder of faircompare.com. Invite you to take a look at that site. We have a link to it on my Facebook page, but just go to faircompare.com and you can learn what they do there. We'll talk with him some more about that. And, of course, we'll take your questions as well. We'll take a short break, take a look at the news, weather, find out what else is in store for us, and then we'll be back with Rick. Please stay with us. Well, travel is so much fun, isn't it? That sometimes, you get a little stress, you get a little hassle, especially when it comes to planning the trips and trying to get a good flight at a decent price. That can make it less enjoyable. Larry Mueller here. Great to have Rick Seney with us today. He is the founder and CEO of faircompare.com. He helps us navigate the world of airfares and keeps us informed on trends and things that he sees in industry. And Rick, always great to have you with us.
Sure. No, it's always good to chat a little bit. I mean, it's been really fun the last year or so to watch the huge changes that are going on after 4 years of consolidation. And, everybody asks me the same questions over and over. Is flying only going to be for the rich? And, with all these consolidations, you have Delta, Northwest, United Continental, Southwest, AirTran, U.S. Airways, and American now. And the answer is hopefully no. We won't really be able to test that question until we actually have a decent economy. Because while we're in sort of a tepid economy, airlines are still required to discount to some degree to fill in those last set of empty middle seats. So there's always a good deal to be found.
Are there any good sales coming up?
Well, historically, what you'll find is in the month of February, we'll slowly see at the tail end of the month of February, some early June sales come out. Typically, those are for Tuesday, Wednesday, Saturday departures. A lot of people have already purchased their spring break airfare already, and now they're looking for some summertime trips, which they should be doing because they should be shopping about 3 months before departure. You can actually shop too early. Some people like to buy 6 months in advance. The only time that makes any sense is for holiday travel. Seattle, for example, airlines really don't start to manage their flights until about 3 months before departure. And so they're happy to sell you the fifth or sixth cheapest price way early. So you should just start shopping in about 3 months and don't buy any later typically than 1 month out.
There we go. And tell us about how you provide information through faircompare.com.
Yeah, we're one of the handful of companies in the world that basically participate in what I like to call the airline ticket stock exchange. All day long, airlines are filing changes to their airfare. Over 500 airlines worldwide, we're one of the subscribers to this. And then we process that with our own software. And with that, we know exactly what's happening in the marketplace, when prices drop. And we store almost now a decade of history of that. So we know exactly what the patterns are.
And we have a link, of course, to faircompare.com on my Facebook page. Diane in Madison has a question for you. Hi, Diane. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question about traveling to Nashville.
Sure.
For just like 3 days or so over the weekend sometime in March. And I can go outside of Madison, but probably don't want to go too far outside of Madison.
Maybe Milwaukee? Would you go that far?
Oh, yeah, for sure, Milwaukee. Okay. I don't know about Chicago, though.
Okay, well.
Well, let me tell you, out of Madison, the very lowest price in the month of March, which happens to be on Friday, March 14th, that's $360. The average price is $460 round trip right now.
Okay.
But if you switch to, I don't know, is Milwaukee closer? I'm not really familiar with how far it
drives. Milwaukee's about an hour away from Madison. Chicago would be like 2.5 hours.
Yeah, so out of Milwaukee, that same trip is about $325. So you're not gaining a huge amount of advantage. So, and that's not a terrible price for that time of year, especially now that we're sort of at the tail end of February. If you really are going to go in March, and that would definitely buy my ticket in the latter half of March. I would buy that ticket right now in about $350 range right there. If you can leave on a Wednesday, come back on a Saturday, that'll save you an extra $10 or $20.
Okay. Or if I leave on a Saturday, come back on a
Wednesday or Tuesday. At least if you do one of those 2 days, you'll at least get some of the benefit of the cheaper day of the week.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you so much.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Dan. Sally in Hayward. Hi, thanks for calling.
Hi, thanks so much for taking the call. I'm planning a trip to Anchorage departing Saturday, August 30th. That'll include Labor Day weekend for just 1 week, Saturday to Saturday. I live in northwest Wisconsin, so my questions are, should I fly out of Minneapolis, and when's the best time to book?
Sure. Let's take a look. So you're a little bit early for booking for August at the moment.
Sure.
So if you look at the prices right now for August time frame, there's a huge break point depending on when you go in August, by the way. If you go in the last week in August, the prices drop dramatically. Right now, the price point is about $560 round trip.
Uh-huh.
That's not bad, actually.
It's not terrible right now, but if for example, if you were going in May at the moment, you could take that same trip for about $440 round trip. So you can, the price likely will come down maybe $30 or $40 in about 2 or 3 months. But if you want to go ahead and lock in that price because you found a nonstop or something like that you like out of Minneapolis, I wouldn't be upset with you if you went ahead and locked in at that $500 amount.
Okay, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Pat in Casco, hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, thanks for taking the call. My husband and I are flying to Kailua-Kona, the Big Island of Hawaii, in November to meet my brother. And we're going to be there the 14th through the 21st. We're flexible about our flying.
What city are you flying out of?
Well, we could go out of Milwaukee, but Green Bay is the closest airport.
Sure.
And I have a two-part question, which is like, you already answered the first one, which is, when's the top for airfare?
Yeah, what month were you going in again? I'm sorry.
November.
November.
We try to fly from Green Bay or Milwaukee.
Yeah, so out of Milwaukee right now, I mean, the bottom line is that kind of trip, especially if you're buying it for that late, if you're going Thanksgiving week, that's going to be the most expensive at about $1,200 round trip. It's going to be just under $1,000 round trip if you go other parts, if you want to buy your ticket now. If you'll wait probably till late May, early June to start looking for that ticket, you can see that ticket probably dip out of Milwaukee closer to $800 round trip in the $750 range.
Oh, okay, great. And just a real quick question. We're divers, and I'm thinking about tacking on a side trip as long as we're flying that far to the South Pacific. Could we? Is it cheaper to fly from Hawaii to an island like Palau? Or would it be better for us to just do that as a separate trip?
Yeah. No, there's in Hawaii, you have Hawaiian Airlines. You also have Go Airlines. And then there's another airline called Mokulele. Those three airlines are inter-island. And then you also have sort of the big major carriers that take you back to Asia. There's a lot of Asia presence coming in and out of Hawaii. So depending on what island you want to go to, it can be cheaper out of Hawaii. It definitely will be cheaper than leaving from the West Coast.
Definitely.
Okay, great.
All right.
Well, that's worth for me to check it further. Thank you so much.
Sure, no problem.
And Sue in Marshfield. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm going to be traveling to South Africa in November, flying into Cape Town. And I'm just kind of wondering when we should book the trip, and if it would, which airline, just some general suggestions.
Okay, so a couple things. For international travel, typically you want to start shopping about 5 months in advance, so you're a little bit early for November.
Okay.
That's a perfect time to go because you're in the off season there, in the November time frame. So you're going to save some money there. The price points drop on August 23rd and in mid October. So you're going to catch that basically winter rate mm-hmm. when you're heading over there. I'm assuming you're going to go to Johannesburg if you're going into South Africa.
Actually, we're going to be in the Western Cape, so we'll be going into Cape Town, and then we're doing a volunteer vacation just a little bit out of Cape Town.
Yeah, you'll end up probably transiting through Johannesburg because that's where the main hub is there. It's kind of hard to get to Cape Town. So you're likely going to probably stop in one of the main hubs in Europe, typically London Heathrow, but depending on what airline you take, you could be going through Amsterdam, or you could go through Frankfurt if it's Lufthansa, depending on which airline you decide to pick. Those tickets in general during that time frame are around $1,700 to $1,800 round trip.
Okay.
Okay.
In the summertime or early summertime, they can range up to $2,300 to $2,400. You're also going to, in some cases, some airlines have difficulty getting you over to Cape Town, right?
Yeah.
So if you want to have your ticket all the way through Cape Town, you're going to have to do at least a three stop typically.
Okay.
All right, in order to do that, depending on what airport you go out of. So if you're going out of Minneapolis or out of Chicago, you might be able to sneak in a two-stop. But if you're going out of any other cities, you're going to have a three-stop trip, and you have to plan sort of an all-day affair for that and an overnight affair for that. It's going to be a very long trip.
Yeah, I went there one other time, and we did a stop in New York, and then Amsterdam, and then straight down to Cape Town.
Yeah, and so you can go from Amsterdam to Cape Town, but you have limited flight choices there. So
do you suggest any airline?
Well, yeah. I mean, basically, you only have sort of three international airlines now with the merger of U.S. Airways and American that are U.S.-based, and all of them have partners. So if you're on American, you'd be with British Airways. Typically, that'd be out of Chicago. If you're on Delta, you'd be Delta or KLM. You'd be going out of Minneapolis. And in the case of United, you'd be basically connecting somewhere in the U.S. out of either Chicago or out of Minneapolis, for example.
Okay.
So those three airlines. And then with United, you'd be taking Lufthansa into Frankfurt, typically.
There you go.
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling, Sue. And good luck with the trip. Keith in Green Bay, where are you headed?
Well, I'm headed to the UK or Belgium.
Oh.
I'd like to be there. There's a retreat I'd like to go to in Belgium between the 4th and the 10th of October. But I do have friends that live in southwestern UK. So I would either like tack on a trip before to England and then go to Belgium, or go to Belgium and then go to the UK.
What time frame? I missed the time frame.
I'm October 4th to the 10th.
And yeah, you're a little early. That's a perfect time. You're right there before the break point. In mid-October, the price drops by about 15%.
Oh, okay.
So if you were leaving the second week in October, you'd probably get a little bit better price point.
Mm-hmm.
So just to be aware of that. You're still going to get sort of what they call fall rates instead of winter rates. The winter rates kick in mid-October.
Mm-hmm.
In your particular case, if you're going to Europe, hardly anybody takes a train anymore in Europe. They all fly low-cost airlines. So you have a wide variety of low-cost airlines. You have Ryanair, you have EasyJet, you have Air Berlin. There's several of them you can do. And in some cases, they're selling these tickets for £10 or €15, right? So once you get to your particular city. So for me, it's probably better if you stop off at one of the big major cities. It's usually a cheaper ticket price, and then take a low-cost airline to your final destination.
So if I went into, say, did the UK first, fly into London. My friends live near Portsmouth.
Yep.
Then visit them and then go back to London and then go over
to Belgium. Just take a little side trip on one of the low-cost airlines wherever you want to go, whether it's Brussels or wherever you're heading, and you can take a little side trip on one of the low-cost airlines. It'd be like taking JetBlue or Southwest here.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the place I want to go is between Brussels and Liège.
And even Ryanair actually goes to some of these out-of-the-way locations, not just to Brussels alone. So just check out those three airlines, and you should be able to find a pretty low cost. I mean, if you're shopping this far ahead, you'll be able to find that ticket for next to nothing.
Yeah. Good luck. Thanks a lot, Keith, for calling. And Lois in Eau Claire, hi to you.
Hi. I would like to be flying to Billings, Montana, out of the cities in the first part of June or to the middle part of June. I'm assuming Delta is the only one with a direct flight.
What airport is closest to you?
Minneapolis.
Minneapolis.
Would the days still be a factor when it's a short flight like that? Still being Wednesday and Saturday better than...
Sure, yeah. Tuesday, Wednesday, Saturday are your best days to go. Right now, the ticket prices in mid-June out of for nonstops out of Minneapolis are running about $360 round trip.
Okay.
I think that they'll go down. We're just now seeing some June, Tuesday, Wednesday sales start to come in, so I would expect that price point to come down maybe another 5 to 10% here in the next couple weeks, so I'd wait a couple weeks to buy that ticket. But definitely, if you leave on a Tuesday, Wednesday, come back on a Saturday, I'll give you a difference. If you leave on a Friday, right now the ticket price is $400 round trip.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Yep, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. And Michelle on Facebook sent us a message wondering when the best time is to purchase tickets to Las Vegas. She's thinking about early October out of maybe Green Bay or Appleton. And is it best to buy a package with a hotel?
Sure. Well, again, we're a little bit early for those fall trips.
Yeah.
So I would just start looking at those at the beginning of the summer or in midsummer, depending on how late in the fall you're going. From a packaging perspective, all the airlines have packaging partners, American, U.S. Airways, United, Delta also has a packaging partner. You can find, in some cases, some really good deals, especially if you're willing to go on certain days of the week, over the weekend, for example, a Thursday to a Sunday, for example. Mm-hmm. You can find some package deals. Typically, what you're going to find is the bigger, more popular hotels, the Mandalays, the Bellagios, the Wynns, they don't tend to participate as much in those packages. So they're sort of the mid-tier strip hotels.
And Rick, someone was wondering why American Airlines has eliminated the economy ticket.
I'm not sure what that means exactly, but they airlines in general, and American being one of them, basically have, for domestic flights, they now have sort of what I'll call three cabins, for lack of a better term. One is coach or economy. Another one they call premium economy, or they have a special brand name for it, which gives you an extra 5 or 6 inches of leg room. And then typically you have what you would call a first class cabin, which is usually maybe 3 to 5 rows up at the front of the aircraft. So I'm not sure exactly when they say economy ticket, what they mean.
I don't have any more information, so we're out of luck.
Well, I think that what they're referring to is the fact that when you buy your ticket now, they basically don't let you have a seat assignment that you can pre-do a seat assignment on American easily without paying a fee, unless you want to sit in the middle seat.
Yeah.
And so they'll let you sort of pre-assign, and then everybody has to rush in at the 24-hour mark and sort of scoop up all the remaining seats that don't cost anywhere from $20 to $40 to confirm your seat assignment at the time of booking.
Let's turn to Joanne in Jacksonport. Hi, Joanne.
Hi, thank you very much. I'm fortunately going to a wedding, but unfortunately, it's going to be Easter week, and I imagine that's going to be hideously expensive. And I have some flexibility of getting there. I can go on a Saturday, excuse me, and come back on a Tuesday.
Where are you heading?
That helps, doesn't it? I'm heading to L.A., LAX, and I can fly out of Milwaukee, or as I call it, the Strudel Airport in Green Bay. Usually it's really expensive to get from Green Bay to Milwaukee on the plane.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to balance out whether changing my dates from Milwaukee would be enough cheaper to figure out the flight from take a flight from Green Bay to Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so usually if you take a regional a flight from Green Bay, typically you wouldn't necessarily go from Green Bay to Milwaukee. You might actually go from Green Bay to Denver or to Chicago or maybe to Minneapolis, backtracking a little bit before you go to Los Angeles. They tend to charge about 30% for that convenience, right? Above and beyond if you actually went from Milwaukee directly or from Minneapolis or Chicago in those particular examples. So you just have to do that trade-off. Usually, if it's a family of four or something like that, you have sort of a different trade-off because of the expense. If it's one person, sometimes it's worth it.
Yeah.
For that single connection. So depending on what it looks like, I'm looking at pricing right now. And during that weekend, if you leave on a Saturday and depending on how long you stay, the price point's in the $370 to $480 range right now.
There you go. And I, from Madison, which we've often flown out of Chicago for one reason or another, if it's, you're going to Europe or whatever, we'll jump on the bus and to go from Madison to Chicago, and it's really not all that expensive, and frankly, not a bad ride.
It's one of these trade-offs. I've done all sorts of weird trips. Like a couple of years ago, I went and we picked up my wife's father in Houston. So we took Southwest to Houston and then took United over to Europe, for example. So just depending on what the situation is, whether you drive or not, it's that sort of that pain point is in the 3 to 4 hour drive mark. Right?
Yeah.
And that's really what the regional airport concept is about. They're giving you just enough, for that 30-minute flight versus a 4 or 5 hour drive to make you want to do that flight. And that's really how they're set up.
Jim in Milwaukee, it's your turn. Hi, Jim.
Well, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. My destination would be Kauai, the island of Kauai in Hawaii. I've got some flexibility. It's roughly the 5th or 6th of June and return midweek, maybe the 15th, 16th, or 17th of June. I prefer to fly out of Milwaukee. Is it too early, or is it too late?
I think you're right in sort of the sweet spot to start shopping for that particular trip. So if you look at actually flying to Hawaii, the prices range right now for those June trips, sort of at the very cheapest out of Milwaukee, right at $1,000. But if you leave on a weekend, like on a Sunday, for example, or even in some cases on a Saturday, it's $1,300 round trip.
No.
So if you can go midweek, usually the Tuesday or Wednesday, I can see prices sort of in the $1,000 range out of Milwaukee. Now, if you take that same trip and look at it out of Chicago, the price is about around $100 cheaper. So you're not getting a huge advantage if you were to go to one of the big major hubs. Milwaukee, you're definitely going to connect on the West Coast.
There you go.
And you're also going to make a connection. You're also going to make a connection typically in Honolulu. So you're going to end up having a two-stop.
Okay. There you go, Jim.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
Yeah, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And let's see. Lori? Quick question from you. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for squeezing me in. I'm wondering about any sites to find places to stay that are kind of alternative, budget-minded for a woman traveling alone in Amsterdam.
Any websites or places to look?
Over there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not my big area, but there are several websites like Airbnb, which is basically people renting out part of their homes in some cases or rooms that they have where it's sort of an alternate. Booking.com is the most popular website for shopping for places to stay in Europe. There's also some hostel websites out there. I forget the name of it, but one of them is sort of, you know, rent my couch sort of thing.
And with that, we have to close. Oh, man. Thank you so much, Rick. This has been great.
Sure. Thank you.
Rick Seeney is CEO and co-founder of FairCompare.com. So you can go to FairCompare.com to learn more about it, or just we have a link on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Thanks for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store.